So this morning we're going to revisit the celebration of the 12 days of Christmas. And as we do this, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that throughout Christian history and tradition, symbolism has played an important role in discovering, you know, the deeper meaning of certain aspects of the Christian faith through the years. So Christianity has borrowed from other traditions and other symbols and certain regions of the world. There are certain things that end up having a deeper meaning or significance when it's tied to the Christian faith. And the use of symbols reminds us too, and this is important, that not everything we see or hear needs to be taken literally or just one way. That there may be different ways of understanding and different ways of coming to learn more about our faith. And so when we open our minds and when we can use our God-given gift of imagination, the experiences and the expressions offered by the world around us can contain layers of meaning and offer a greater richness to our living. So in the history of the church, elemental symbols were widely used. Like water has specific symbolic significance for Christians, not just in baptism, but water may represent cleansing or purity. And also there's fire, and we think of fire as the form of a candle flame here today, and it represents both the Holy Spirit and the light of God, the light of Christ. And the sources of these symbols, they derive from the Bible. I mean, there's the example in the book of Acts at Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit was said to have descended upon the disciples as of tongues of fire, like tongues of fire. So it's very symbolic. And Jesus' description of his followers, as I said, of being the light of the world, or of God being a consuming or an all-consuming fire that doesn't go out, such as when Moses encounters the burning bush in Exodus. The cross is a widely recognized symbol in the world, and it was used as a symbol in the Christian tradition from the earliest time. And another area of symbolism within the Christian tradition has been numbers. And if you were a part of the series that I did back in the fall through the book of Revelation, we might recall that numbers were very important to the person who wrote down the book of Revelation. And not to be taken literally, but certainly symbolic of aspects of the Jewish and Christian traditions. And so today, we explore the meaning of the numbers 1 through 12 as we journey through the 12 days of Christmas. And so the 12 days of Christmas begin on December 25th and on January 6th with the Epiphany. So today, do you know what day it is? It's the fifth day of Christmas today, so just so you know. So we're going to begin, and we're going to sing that first verse, which, you know how it goes? On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. So a partridge in a pear tree is an interesting symbol because partridges, you see, they nest in the ground. So a partridge in a tree is something different. And that's why the partridge in a pear tree is symbolic of Christ, the Son of God. And it represents as a partridge, a mother partridge who goes up into a tree, right, to distract a predator from the nest that's in the ground. Right, that the partridge in the tree is there to protect, trying to protect her young by doing this. And so we see this in the scriptures where Christ is portrayed as almost a mother hen. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, how often I would have sheltered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you would not have it so." It's also good for us to think of this feminine aspect of God too, I think, which is an important part of our faith, has always been there. And some also relate the number one to the monotheistic God, which was certainly characteristic of the Jewish people, and it was a part of that belief in the one God that Christ sought to extend through his own life and ministry. And now we're on to... On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. So if you don't remember anything else by the end of today, you'll at least know this song. I'm pretty sure about that. So two turtle doves. The number two has a lot of significance within the Christian faith and within the Judeo-Christian tradition. So in the book of Ecclesiastes, for example, it speaks of the value of a friend and the power of two, right, being stronger than one. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two are together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. And also, Christians affirm that there are two testaments within the scripture. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament, which bear together the witness of God's revelation through history and the creation of a people to tell the story of God to the world. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. So as the text says, it's often been said that three is a crowd. But certainly within the Christian faith, three is very meaningful. In groups of three, we might know this, it can often happen, you know, when you have three people, two people will connect. And they may relate to each other, but the third will sort of be left on the outside. And this can motivate that third party to drop out of a group, and community collapses as a result. And so to understand God as a Trinity, this is very important in terms of our faith, is that when we speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or as three persons, that we speak of God as a community of persons, and that none of those persons stand alone. They are whole, and God is one when community is formed. So we celebrate this as a church, and we're made in the image of that God, right? The scriptures attest to being made in the image of God. In fact, in the book of Genesis, God says, let us make humankind in our image. Interesting choice of words, our. God doesn't say, I'm going to make them in my image. He says our. Because there's something about God. The nature of God is that of a community of persons, and that there is wholeness together. It's at the root of who we are. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. So the significance of the number four, in a sense, it goes without saying, because there are four Gospels that are within the canon of Scripture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark is believed to be the earliest of the four Gospels, although there is a minority scholarly opinion that believes John might be earlier. But a lot of folks believe that the Gospel of Mark, it was written down likely by a fellow named Mark, but it was actually Peter's testimony of Jesus, the disciple Peter. And it is truly believed that John's Gospel is the last one. But these four Gospels, if we read through them, we discover that they're not the same. They tell stories about the same person, and they may share some of the same things. But each one offers its own unique witness to who Jesus was, and a different voice who proclaims the good news of Christ. And so I think that's something hopeful for all of us, because we're all sort of like our own walking gospels in a sense. We go out and we have our own testimony to make about how God is at work in our lives and how we come to know Christ. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. So the first 5 books of our Old Testament are very special within the Jewish faith. The first 5 books of the Bible are known as the Torah. Some refer to it as the law, but it more means teaching. And these first 5 books are attributed to the prophet Moses. And they are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in these 5 books, you know, there are more than just 10 commandments. There are actually 613 laws. It says that there are 365 of the rabbinic traditions within Judaism say there are 365 negative commandments, one for every day of the year, and there are 248 positive commands, one for every bone in the body. That's how they said you are to remember them. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. So we have 6 geese a-laying, and you have to think of it this way. 6 geese a-laying, those are geese that are at work, right? They're busy. And so the number 6 represents the 6 days of creation, the 6 days that God worked symbolically to bring about creation, a creation that God declares to be good. And although we know the 6 days are symbolic, acknowledging the days that God created expresses a theological truth that God is the creator, the sustainer of life, the one that brings order to chaos. And we're also reminded that after the 6 days, what did God do? God rested. So certainly if God can rest, so can humankind, right? And we are to be reminded that the Sabbath is a gift from God, just as creation is also a gift from God.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
So, the number 7 of 7 swans a-swimming, what could they be? Well, the Apostle Paul speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts are 7 gifts, the gifts of prophecy, of ministry, of teaching, of exhortation, of giving, of leading, and of compassion. And each gift attests to the humble service we give and receive in one another. We share our gifts and we share these gifts of the Spirit. And you can, if you wish, you can read them in the book of Romans in chapter 12. And this is what Paul says. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think." Good words to remember as we move into a new year, right? "But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same functions, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
So, how many of you here learned the Beatitudes off by heart, right? Maybe when you went through confirmation or as a young person. Some people are good. They really can remember the Beatitudes. And they come from the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, this prolonged sermon near the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. It's a time when Jesus lays out, okay, if you're going to be my followers, this is what it's about. And as a part of that, we have what's known as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes begin with the words, what's the word the Beatitude begins with? Blessed. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? I mean, usually in our world we think, well, blessed is the one who has a secure, well-paying job. Blessed is the one who has a nice, comfortable home. Blessed is the one, you know, we think of all these, you know, wonderful things. Listen to what Jesus says about who the blessed ones are. So when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
So, number 9, we had the 7 gifts of the Spirit, but the Apostle Paul also talks about the 9 fruits of the Spirit. So, there are certain gifts that the Spirit gives, but the fruits are perhaps the result. You know, the result of the work. You know, you bear fruit. It's often talked about Jesus' disciples are called to go out and bear fruit, the fruits of faith. And so Paul uses 9. He has 9 fruits of the Spirit that he lists in his letter to the Galatians. And he has this to say. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." He says, "There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another." So the 9 fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
On the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Number 10 would be pretty straightforward, right? I mean, I know it's written down, but if you had to guess what the number 10 would be when you think of the Bible or the faith, what would it be? The Ten Commandments. So look, I want us to turn to the to page 877 in the hymn books. And so the Ten Commandments were given to the prophet Moses on Mount Sinai, and they can be found in Exodus 20, and they can also be found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And the Ten Commandments represent the covenant that God makes with the Hebrews in their flight from Egypt. God seeks to have us live as a covenant people. Covenant is a very important part of what it means to be a person of faith. The Hebrew word for covenant is brit, and literally means a contract. It basically says, you know, if you do this and this, and this is what it looks like. We have to be careful, though, because sometimes we think that everything becomes a transaction, right? That if I do this, then you will do that, and that it's this for that. And it's not, a covenant is not so much that. As much a covenant is a description of a relationship, and a covenant is representative more, not of if I do this, as you will do that. It's representative of a promise that is made. And God seeks to have us live as a covenant people, as a people God has made promises to, and this covenant is remade for all in Jesus Christ. And so let us say together the Ten Commandments as they are written on page 877. Hear the commandments which God gave Israel through Moses. You shall have no other gods besides me. You shall not make yourself idols, nor bow down to them, nor serve them. You shall not swear falsely by my name. Remember the day of rest and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 pipers piping, 10 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-serving, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. So the number 11 brings to mind the 11 faithful apostles. Who wasn't the faithful apostle? There you go. Quick. Judas Iscariot. Right. So the 11 faithful apostles, and they are Simon Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, son of James. And the list, as I said, does not include Judas Iscariot. Also reminds us that one of Jesus' closest friends was willing to betray him for a price, and also did it when he approached the one he called his master and friend and teacher and kissed him on the cheek. It's a sobering thought when it comes to thinking of the Christian faith, and certainly what Christ came to reveal about this world and about what it means to remain faithful.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming, 8 lords a-leaping, 9 ladies dancing, 8 maids maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five gold rings, four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
So 12 is a very important number within the scriptures. And number 12 was used a lot in that book of Revelation that we were looking at in the fall. But the number 12, it relates to the 12 tribes of Israel. And those were the 12 sons of Jacob that we hear about their story in the book of Genesis. And others see 12 as symbolic to the original 12 disciples of Jesus, that were used to represent the new Israel and the new covenant, just as Israel had 12 tribes, Jesus had 12 disciples. And in the Apostles' Creed, which we don't say a whole lot anymore, but it's still there and it's still a part of our faith, there are 12 points of teaching. And so together I invite us to read the Apostles' Creed as it's printed here in the order of service. You may know it off by heart. Sometimes the words are different, depending on what you learned. But certainly the 12 points of teaching remain the same. And so let us begin with number one. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Again, stretch the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. So now you're equipped, right? The 12 days of Christmas. So when you're sitting around tonight and people are debating what was done on what day, you know, you can actually fill them in with a little bit more. There you go. When you're having your trivia contest. So let's request another carol. And